best way to get you going. This is Breakfast Beat with Ghulam Fakir and Sagar Shegesov. Only on The Voice of the Cape.
Welcome to It Is Breakfast. We're all over your wireless. We're moving along now. Medical and other experts have expressed concern over what they say is a disproportionate rate of deaths from COVID-19 in the Muslim community compared to the population size nationally. Joining us online is Dr. Uzair Mohammed. He's a public health medicine specialist to speak to us about this morning. Dr. Uzair, assalamu alaikum. Shukran so much for your time this morning. You know, when we look at COVID-19 statistics, you know, in terms of what it looks like for the Muslim community in terms of deaths, recoveries and active cases, what are we looking at here?
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thanks for the opportunity. Firstly, let me say that the only tangible evidence that we have among the Muslim community in terms of the burden of the COVID-19 disease is what we acquired through the death statistics. In order to get the number of new cases as well as the recoveries, because that data is collected through the NICD and no religious denomination is actually collected on that information. So we're uncertain to the true extent of the number of cases and the number of recoveries among the Muslim community. But because an organization called Muslim Statistics voluntarily works with the registered burial societies in South Africa that are permitted to conduct COVID death burials, they actually establish a system where all the burial societies report the Muslim death due to confirmed COVID cases. So only if the person is a confirmed COVID case, it gets registered on their database. So that's the only information we actually have to determine the extent or the seriousness of the COVID pandemic on the Muslim community.
It makes it very, very interesting because, I mean, in fact, I just got a message earlier talking about the Muslim rates and the janazas, etc., that one that the Muslims are experiencing. But if we were to look at the possible explanation for such a high death rate amongst the Muslim community, you know, what could it be? Because it appears, even last week and Saturday, you know, personally, I've experienced this where they had somebody that, you know, they just treated the person as if the person was, you know, COVID positive, and they signed it off on the death certificate, but it not on the death certificate, on the notes that they were giving to the family. But there was no, you know, evidence to prove the tests were even done, you know, and it's just like signed off as COVID.
Yeah, so it's, well, there's two issues that need to be discussed, right? One is most of the people that are actually die in health facilities will only get, if they have a COVID test, then they will get a COVID-related death. Now, I think the government has also moved away towards clinical diagnosis and laboratory diagnosis. So if, because of the increase in demand of the tests are not practically available for every single person. So we in South Africa, especially in the Western Cape, is moved towards testing of high-risk individuals. So other people, the diagnosis will be based on a clinical, from a physician's perspective. And then the second thing that affects us as Muslims is that we, in terms of the Sharia and the way that we work, is that we expect to bury the person within a few hours after their demise. Right. And what then tends to happen is the hospital does not want to release the body unless you take it as a suspected COVID case. So in most of but the only thing that gets recorded on the death certificate, the primary diagnosis would be whatever the person passed away with, but the contributing diagnosis in suspected cases will be suspected. It won't be confirmed. So I think we need to realize that, you know what, it's not all doom and gloom. The reality is that the statistics actually pick up far are more than reliable.
Right. Now, just before I let you go, I believe that, you know, there is I would like to speak to you about the purpose, at least, of the group of experts that started collecting data to try and establish the number of COVID cases in the Muslim community. Just very quickly talk us through that.
Okay. So the main reason that the group actually got together was, number one, We started to see the disproportionate death among the Muslim community. And our idea was then to say, you know what, as Muslims, we need to raise awareness about how COVID impacts us. And we wanted to encourage the Muslim community to actually take the necessary precautions and understand that the risk of infection and death. You see, the one problem, when you go to hospital now, and if you have a COVID, suspected COVID, or any other condition, you're not allowed visitors, you're all alone in the ward,
right.
And then you have this fear that what happens if something happens to me and I pass away, there will be nobody around me to read anything for me or to be at my bedside. And then what happens if we tend to then hide or keep this within us and we want to stay at home? And we actually don't want to take the necessary treatment or go out and get the diagnosis and do the necessary things required. So it's because of the fear within us that we try to actually take the thing forward and try to break the stigma around it and raise awareness so we can actually induce a behavioral change among our community.
Right, there's so much more that we can talk about, but we're going to have to leave it there. Dr. Uzair Mohammed, public health medicine specialist, talking to us and just giving us an update with regards to COVID-19, the Muslim COVID-19 cases. And many of us have heard already, personally even, about, just suspected cases or janazas that is being written off as, you know, COVID case and gets buried that way. And then it's just this uproar in the community and families as well. Now, in recent days also, the South African Muslim Network lodged a letter of complaint against the witness after a photo was attached to an article on the 4th of August on the online platform regarding the number of Muslim COVID cases. So Samnit says that the picture is misleading and not a representation of what is actually happening. Dr. Faisal Suleiman will also be joining us with regards to this, just to talk to us very quickly about this. Doc, assalamu alaikum and shukran so much for making yourself available to talk to us this morning. So, you know, the article and the picture that was attached with, what was something that just drew you to sort of lodge the complaint?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and thank you for having me. So to describe the photo to people who haven't seen it, it is a picture of a humongous crowd. Something that looks like it would have to be taken somewhere in one of the subcontinental countries. It literally shows thousands of people in a convention in Salah in Ruku. Now, this would have clearly been before COVID.
Mm.
And the caption the newspaper ran and then online, and it's on the online platforms, is Muslims at the Eid prayer. And then the article, and incidentally, it turns out that the journalist who wrote the article did not at all speak to or interview Dr. Bray and Muhammad Wadi from Muslim Stats SA, which in itself was problematic. But our concern was, the way the article was framed, and more importantly, when a public, in an age where a photo like this would go viral, and we remember when COVID just started and the church gathering in Free State, I think Kenneth Meshwe, leader of the ACDP, was one of the congregants amongst many other well-known people, who then was a source of infection to others. The sort of backlash, one will remember what happened in Nizamuddin in India, and
yeah,
the hysteria and anger that related from it. So our concern was a photo like that was a misrepresentation of especially in this present environment, of the reality.
Yeah, I wanted to actually, wanted you to share comment with regards to that, because you're saying that the picture used can also lead to increased Islamophobia. That's your view from Samnit.
Well, you see, as we've seen with a lot of other, whether it's fake news or something that's taken out of context, when a photo like this, and remember, our organization gets complaints all the time from Muslims who've been harassed or discriminated against or been, maligned at work, etc. So we are acutely aware of a lot of the discrimination that Muslims face and may not be, well aware in the public, that a photo like this spread on social media and says, look at these Muslims, disregard, unpatriotic, don't care for others, will spread it to others, they have money to go and get treatment, they don't care about us. This can take racial undertones, it can take religious undertones, and it can be a source of maligning the Muslim community. And in an environment where already Muslims are portrayed in such a negative light in the general mainstream media and movies and on Netflix, everywhere else, I think it just raises an anti-Muslim sentiment. It can raise an anti-Muslim sentiment. And for us, that picture was actually, and then, of course, they've acknowledged it now. Right. A gross misrepresentation.
Mm. Now, Doc, just before I let you go, just 30 seconds quickly, did Samnit ask the witness to rectify the matter? What was the response?
Yes, no, they have agreed.
Okay.
They will redo an interview with Muslim Stats SA.
Okay.
On online, after we raised the concern, they took the picture off on the online before, and obviously the print media was already right. done. And they will run the story again.
And okay, great stuff. At least there was some progress made as well. Dr. Faisal Suleiman of Samnit, thank you so much for your time this morning.